The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. What a delight that you're here this morning, early on Friday, October 4th, 50 degrees. Going to be a nice warm day and warm weekend. And I'm feeling better. I feel like I'm coming to the end of this long process in my personal life because I'm finally going to be able to fill in my pool over the next few days is what I'm told. My friend Ed saying that we're getting this all together. I know that, it's the simple things in life that that are pleasurable with me. And right now, I've had an empty hole in my backyard for about the last 2-3 years. It was like this splash pool was put into my home long ago by the prior owner. And the only problem with that is that it's 3 feet deep, 8 feet wide, 16 feet long, and it took just as much work to service and keep up and keep clean as if it was a big pool that you could actually dive into, right? And it was a lined in-ground pool, and it's like the worst of all worlds. The worst of all worlds. You get a vinyl liner, and it's in the ground, and so you don't see the leaks, and then it would leak, and then it would cause problems everywhere else. Finally, though, my friend Ed says, Bill, we're going to get this filled in. So it's like there's been this hole in the backyard that will be filled in, and then you'll hear me complaining next year about the weeds that are growing on where the swimming pool used to be. But I just want to let you know that that's my positive piece of news from my life. I just kind of wanted to, it's like, could I put enough concrete in the backyard and just fill the stupid thing in as I would watch it? Just like, what were these people thinking when they put this pool in there? It's not a pool. A hot tub would have been better. I would have loved a hot tub. I remember when I saw the house and Linda loved the house because the house was great. And I said, honey, it's got a swimming pool. That's going to be trouble. You don't want a swimming pool. Oh, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And then it ended up being a problem. Oh, well, we knew that. Anyway, how are you doing this morning? 13 minutes after 6. Let's see. Hiring in September. This, according to the New York Times, breaking news. Hiring in September was unexpectedly robust. I wonder if that's a typo. My boss, George, was saying, you sure that wasn't a typo? Hiring in September was unexpectedly robots. No, but this is what they're claiming, though. U.S. employers adding 254,000 jobs, and the unemployment rate fell to 4.1%. So we'll see if the stock market is going to react incredibly crazily to that or not. We'll have some stories on that coming up. Rick Manning will join me with the D.C. Swamp Update. He's a former Labor Department guy, so he crunches these numbers all the time. You know, the part about this, though, that is always deceptive is that they talk about $254,000 jobs, and it doesn't matter if it's 5 hours a week or 40 hours a week, and the vast majority of them end up being part-time. And that's what I'm curious about, because what the trend has been in America for quite some time are a lot of people taking multiple part-time jobs to make it work. And so I'm wondering if this ends up being a little deceptive. But we'll see. We'll talk with Rick about that. Hopefully he'll get a chance to crunch into the preliminary data. 14 minutes after 6, before I go to the phones here, by the way, and I will get your phone calls here in just a moment because it is Friday and I'm feeling even more generous with my time than usual. U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley is going to be in town, and he's going to be touring New Spirit Village this afternoon. It's an affordable home ownership development in Medford that, according to his staff, says uses high-density planning to maximize space. I'm sorry. I have to laugh at this. Okay, so Merkley is going to be visiting, once again, Spirit Village, high-density planning to maximize space and encourage community connections. I guess using high-density planning to maximize space and encourage community connections sounds a lot better than really crowded small spaces and where you're shoved into your neighbors so you have no choice but to listen to your neighbor's Netflix at night. I guess that doesn't sound quite as great. But anyway, So high density planning, so crowded, maximizing space and encouraging community connections. No, maximizing space, you know, for the community, I suppose, but you probably don't have that much space yourself personally, right? That's usually what they mean. And also encouraging community connections. You have no choice, you know, no pride. Hey, that's what it is. Encouraging community connections. I think that means no privacy, right? This also follows a land trust model that helps families build equity while preserving affordability. Now, what that means is that you don't own the land. If I had the time, I'd love to go over there and talk to Jeff about this because essentially Jeff Merkley is in favor, I guess, of you not owning the land because the land's the expensive part, apparently, but still you'll be building equity while preserving affordability. But I still think I'm just concerned that this is more down that, you know, that little... You know, that little pathway of you will really own nothing, or if you do own something, it won't be that much because really owning the land is what counts. You won't own much, but you'll be happy in your 15-minute climate-friendly, equitable, affordable home. But yeah, they're looking at this as the model, I think. They continue, as the former leader for a chapter of Habitat for Humanity, Senator Merkley is a champion for seeking new ways to take on the housing and affordability crisis impacting Oregon and the nation. Senator Merkley has pushed for building affordable housing and introduced the End Hedge Fund Control of American Homes Act, legislation that would kick Wall Street hedge funds out of the business of owning single-family homes. Now, that actually may not be such a bad idea, you know, that particular one. I throw up in my mouth a little bit to think that even Jeff Merkley may have an occasional good thought, but I don't know. Maybe there's something to be said that BlackRock should not be in control of the housing market. But does that mean that the government should be in control of the housing market, which it pretends to be at this point, too? So he's going to tour this New Spirit Village, this afternoon, rather. And, you know, the thing is, though, that it all has to be crowded into the cities and stack and pack. And does Merkley even realize how little development is actually in the state of Oregon? Last time I checked, I think that only about 18% of Oregon is developed. All the rest of it, either federal, state land, and a whole bunch of nothingness in there. They are so wedded to their climate change, everybody needs to be living in a little cracker box habit trail in the city, that you know, no other states would tolerate the kind of climate-friendly, equitable, stack-and-pack development model that Oregon is trying to force on the people. And if Senator Merkley is really talking about, you know, people wanting people to get some equity and own their home and be affordable, the way you do that is to open up land for development. And Oregon is not open for development, really. We have urban growth boundaries. Everything's got to go into it, and you have to get permission. It's state land use planning. But I'm sure Jeff figures that's okay because he makes enough money that he doesn't have to live in the climate-friendly, equitable community, kind of like when Pam Marsh had the Green Springs Inn, right? That sort of thing. Hey, they've got theirs. They've got theirs out in the rural lands. They just don't want you living in the rural land. Something to think about. 770-5633. We can talk about that, anything else on your mind, too. But we'll talk all sorts of things this morning on The Bill Meyer Show. KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like 3-0.
Oh, wait, I didn't know this was a competition. Composite.
Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I got to keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana roofing crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
The Thoreau Gardner, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
A lawn that's poorly installed will probably last at the most between 10 and 15 years. You just wish that you hadn't wasted all your work and all your money. The difference to having a good lawn, one that can be good for 40 to even 60 years with proper preparation, proper planting techniques, and proper after-planting care.
Talk to the Road Gardeners Saturdays 10 to noon. Hear the Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Tom Kelly's Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike. Because more than riding his carbon fiber mountain bike, Tom loves telling people about his carbon fiber mountain bike. Friends, family, even a local barista knows about his carbon fiber mountain bike. And that's why Tom's carbon fiber mountain bike, if you haven't heard about it, is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
22 minutes after 6770-5633. My lines are filled up this morning, and I'm going to take a very light call first because there's going to be plenty of time for all the heavy calls, all right? And that's going to be, Vicky, you have the bird mart, or the big bird thing going on this weekend in Southern Oregon, right? This is just a pleasant thing to go out and check out, right? Tell me about that.
Okay. It's the Northwest Bird Mart, 44th annual Bird Mart going on at the Jackson County Expo Fairgrounds in Central Point.
And when's that going to be? When's that going to be?
Excuse me? What's it going to be?
When?
It's going on this Sunday, 6.
What time?
And it's going on at 10 a.m. in the morning till 3.
Okay, great. And why would you go to the bird mart? Do you buy birds there, or is it about bird cages, or what?
Well, they have all kinds of different birds for sale or adoption.
Mm-hmm.
You've got parrots, you've got finches, parakeets, cockatoos, whatever kind of birds there are. There's different colors, sizes.
So everything bird there, and everybody's in. Now, the one thing is no cats admitted, right?
No, don't bring your cat.
Leave your cat in the car, right? That kind of thing.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, I just want to find out, is it true, though, that if you wanted to get a parrot, that a parrot is a really long-term commitment, that they can just live a long, long time, or is that true for different birds? Just curious.
Well, it depends on the bird.
Oh, it is.
I have a blue and gold macaw, and that bird lives anywhere from 80 to 90 years.
Wow.
So I'm going to have to will her to somebody.
That is a commitment, isn't it? Man.
Yes, it is.
Of course, if you get a bad macaw, boy, what do you do with a bad macaw then? It's, oh, man, another 75 years I got to live with this thing, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, hey, I'm glad you called, Vicky, and so everybody knows about it. The Bird Mart, 10 o'clock is when it starts Sunday at the Expo, okay? And
yes.
And good luck on getting rid of the macaws and everything else. Thanks for the call. Yeah, the macaw, the call. There we go. It's 6:24. Vicky's in the Applegate. Vicky, on the Stack and Pack. Take it away. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, first of all, it's so nice to hear the name Vicky, and it's not me talking.
I know. There's two Vickys in a row. I mean, what are the odds? What are the
odds,
Vicky?
There's not very many of us out there. But anyways, the Stack and Pack, it just reminded me of that movie Ready, Set, One. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, it's about a kid that the point of it, the Stack and Pack, is that there's mobile homes stacked on each other, like stacked.
All right. All
the way up. And when you said you don't really own any land, well, they don't have any land. It's just their mobile home is what they owe. Or what they own.
And that was what I was concerned about when they're trying to push this this model on the people, because usually the buildings are kind of a depreciating asset. They deteriorate, you know, over time. The land is not. And that was always been the problem with, hey, I understand why people get mobile homes, but generally speaking, they don't appreciate like a stick-built home does either.
No. And, well, and it's weird because it's the whole area is nothing but mobile homes stacked on top of each other. There's no yards, no trees, no sidewalks.
Yeah, well, that must be where the Democrats like it, though. You know, you'll own nothing or you won't own much, but you'll be happy. So I find it interesting that Senator Jeff Merkley is essentially, you know, and whether he realizes it or not, seems to be, you know, all in on the World Economic Forum's kind of take that humans are the cancer on the planet. And as long as we can just keep you in a little tin can or a little tiny place. And remember, because they use high density planning to encourage community connections. In other words, you're living on top of each other.
Well, and they throw that word community because everybody wants a community and they don't realize that the community they're talking about is not a community. It's more like prison.
Yeah. Communism. Well, there's a commune in communism, too. All right. Thank you, Vicky. It's good to know that there are two of them. Let me go to Tom. Tom's in Talent. You want to talk Stack and Pack or something else, Tom? Go ahead.
Along those lines. And and you just mentioned the World Economic Forum wants to keep us in a small space. I think their goal, the small space, is actually under the ground permanently. I think that's their main thrust. So my I'm going to call it a mountain in my shoe Friday, is it just bugs the daylights out of me when they talk about the housing crisis and so forth and don't connect it with the fact that Oregon is a sanctuary state, that upwards of 30 million people have invaded the United States in the last 4 years, and you talk about a housing crunch. Where the hell do you think that's coming from, besides all these land restrictions?
To think that there is no connection between government interference and then government opening up the flood. You know, government interferes in the ability to build a house, and then government opens the floodgate, and we're not supposed to notice that.
Yeah, government creates a problem, so government comes in with a solution. People like Merkley and so forth. I mean, these are not the kind of people that should be in running the country and so forth and being in charge if they're not making that kind of connection. I don't know, Bill.
We do get the government we deserve, though. There are just too many people that that actually look at Jeff Merkley as the solution rather than the problem he is. I appreciate your call there, and thank you very much, Tom. A little short on time. I want to make sure and squeeze Matt in here before we get Rick Manning on for the D.C. Swamp Update. Hi, good morning, Matt.
Hey, so I've got a movie recommendation, but first I want to comment on the Stack and Pack. Mm-hmm. When you have these deals where the homeowner gets to own the structure and somebody else owns the land, it's the best of both worlds. Not for the homeowner, because the homeowner gets stuck with all the costs and maintenance. Mm-hmm. Of the structure itself, and whoever owns the land gets the benefit of the appreciation over the long term. So it is so devious to say, hey, we're going to build this thing. You get in and pay all the costs, the roof, the this, the that, the redecoration, the replacement of the floors, and we're just going to go ahead and enjoy without having any, you know, anything to do on our part. We're just going to go ahead and enjoy the appreciation, the long-term appreciation of the land. Something else, too. When you have Stack and Pack, it turns red counties blue.
Yep.
That's another problem. And
Because people who will normally be going into affordable housing complexes are usually those that are on tons of government programs and assistance. And because of that, they will naturally gravitate towards the party that is more likely to give them their free pony every time.
I'll bet if you went through condominiums, townhomes, and apartments and asked, would you rather live in a single-family home like Bill Meyer, or would you rather live where you are now? I would bet that at least 80% of the people are going to say, I would rather live in Bill's house, now that he's covered up the pool.
But, yeah. Now, once I fill in the big hole in the ground, that'd be great.
Right.
Yeah.
So the movie recommendation is, it's a Chuck Norris film. I saw it last weekend, called Invasion USA.
Chuck Norris? Really?
Chuck Norris, Invasion USA. Bill, I had never seen the movie. It's from, I think, the early 80s or mid 80s. It is mind-blowing. You have to see it because it's basically, I don't even want to ruin it. I was watching it going, holy crap, this is going on now.
Okay, well, was he playing himself once again? You know, well, the eyes of the ranger are upon you. You know, that kind of thing.
Of course.
Okay, good.
Just like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You never get anybody different.
Exactly.
He's the
same
guy in every film.
All right. So Invasion USA. And you liked it,
yeah,
huh?
I see it.
Good stuff?
Yep. You can. I think you can watch it free probably on YouTube. I don't know. I actually came up. They had a Chuck Norris movie thing, and there were like three movies on there.
Yeah. Well, you can't. As long as you're not telling me to watch something on Netflix, because I had to cancel Netflix after, you know, the president, you know, ended up donating, what was it, $7 or $8 million to Kamala Harris. I think I'm done. Okay. Enough of that.
Yeah. No, Invasion USA, it'll blow your mind.
All right, I'll check it out. Thanks for the recommendation. I'll grab another call or two before we talk to Rick. How you doing? Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, this is Melissa Malasco with Security First.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
Good. I was just calling in to remind everybody, if they haven't heard the commercials, about the Medicare Advantage Fair on Tuesday the 8th next week.
Yeah, that's going to be like an all-day seminar you're all putting on over there, right?
Well, it's a walk-in basis, mm-hmm. So you can come anytime between 9 and 3. There will be breakout classes to learn more about Medicare Advantage, and then the veterans will be doing a benefit session at noon. And we will have a lot of different organizations there for the community, such as Access and a lot of health-related companies.
And where's that going to be again, Melissa?
It's going to be at the Medford Armory.
Okay.
From
all right.
9 to 3.
Yeah. A lot of people are having some questions, given that the Inflation Reduction Act is doing so much screwing around with what the benefits are going to do next year, right?
Yeah, Medicare is actually calling this a disruption, which you know how they name things.
Yeah, well, when they call something a disruption, that means it's hell for regular people.
Yeah,
okay?
So if they're actually calling it the truth and saying that it's a disruption, then you know that it's going to be very bad. Mm. So we have till December 7th to make changes to Medicare Advantage, and all of the different Medicare Advantage companies are going to be at the Armory. That are available in our area. This is our fourth annual, and we did this, you know, as a community outreach, mm-hmm. so that, you know, the commercials and the phone call centers and a lot of the predators that call on the phone just to, you know, make money and sign somebody up for something. We did that to combat that.
Okay. I'm glad you're doing that, and a reminder. So Tuesday is when it's going to be 9 till 3, Medford Armory. Okay. Now, you don't have to be there the whole time, but you just walk in out of there. Now, since you are involved in this business, all right, Melissa, I have to ask you, is there any way that you, as a benevolent dictator, if you were in charge of things, could you actually make the plans be what they actually are or have the right name? Because I get so confused, even when I'm trying to help my mom out and figure out what's going on with some of her stuff. Let's say, okay, so she has AARP. Oh, so the bill comes in with United Health on it, as an example. You know what I'm getting at? It's like none of the plans seem to be named what is actually on the bill when they come to you. Is that just me, or is there something to this?
Well, United Healthcare last year went to having only numbers. They didn't even name their plans, so it's extremely confusing.
Oh.
Most of the other plans have a name to actually their plan. I don't know why they would have done that, where they have, you know, BCK001.
Yeah, well, but like it's just like there's other ones that nothing will seem to make sense. Like, okay, there's Aetna. There's the Ascendo plan or something like that. Some stupid name that they come up with. It's almost like they go onto a car lot and find the dumbest car name, and they put it on one of the Medicare plans. And then, you know, Ascenda,
yeah.
But it's actually from Aetna. Why did it say Aetna?
Right.
You know, so that way you know which companies you're dealing with. It's like they're trying to, is this intentional? I mean, you work within this. It must be confusing to you folks doing this, too.
Well, you know, I've been doing this for 22 years, Bill, and I know Medicare like the back of my hand, and my job is to be able to help people work through it. That's what I do.
Oh, okay.
So,
I get that.
I don't want to say it's job security, because I get super frustrated over it also with, you know, my client. I want, you know, my client to understand. I mean, that's the whole goal with this. And that's kind of the goal with what we have on Tuesday, is that we want people to understand what it is they have. You know, if you can educate people on how Medicare works and what plan they have, they're going to be making wiser choices. And so that's the whole goal with putting this on.
All right. Very good. Hey, Melissa, thanks for the reminder. Tuesday, 9 to 3 over at the Medford Armory, okay? That'll be going on. All right.
Hosted by Futurity First.
All right. Thanks, you Bill. Take care, Melissa. All right. Thank you, Mel.
Bye-bye.
6:35, we'll catch up on the rest of the news. D.C. Swamp update. Is the hiring really going as crazy as they're talking about in the New York Times? I know that I always go to the New York Times for the truth. We'll see what Rick Manning says about that in the D.C. Swamp update next. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company takes pride in ensuring their customers get fresh, clean water from field to faucet. Here's a recent review from Mike.
I am so grateful for Siskiyou Pump and Rotary Drilling Company. This outfit gets a 10 out of 10. When they say they are going to do something, you can trust that it's going to get done to the highest standard. The drilling team knows their stuff and developed a well producing 28 gallons per minute.
Providing fresh water for Rogue Valley residents for over 50 years. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Oregon State Marine Board held a heated discussion in Medford on a move by environmentalists and riverfront property owners to ban jet boats and other powered watercraft on the Rogue River from Gold Ray Dam to Lost Creek Reservoir. The board has the option to adopt the ban, modify it, or leave things as they are. Rogue Jet Boat Adventures owner Tyler Grimes claims misinformation and propaganda have led to the rule change petition. Supporters say the boats are bad for spawning salmon, other fish, and fishermen. Firefighters continue to battle the Tiger Creek fire east of Milton Freewater in northeastern Oregon. It started as a prescribed burn Monday, and wind pushed the flames well over the established perimeter. A New York man is sentenced to 15 years in federal prison for sexually abusing a Southern Oregon child he met on an online video game. 26-year-old Brent Johnson Jr. traveled to Oregon where he sexually abused the child and recorded it on video. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
Hi, this is Paul at Valley Nursery. Fall has arrived and it's a fantastic time for planting trees. And we have the best quality and selection, now 20 to 36% off. It's also a great time to plant hedges and screens, creating privacy in your backyard. Now 20% off. For more fall promotions, color, and choice you won't see anywhere else, go to valleyviewnursery.com. Google Map Valley View Nursery and find us closer than you think.
Access your stored items in comfort. Storage at Exit 24 has climate-controlled elevator access units from 5x5 to 10x30 that are warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and always well-lit and secure. Visit storageatexit24.com.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
Here's Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service for just-in-time appliance.
Recently, a small part went out on our dryer at home. My husband ordered the inexpensive part to fix it. 3 months and several wrong parts later, he agreed to call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair. A couple days later, I had a working dryer. Just-in-Time Appliance have always taken great care of all of our appliances with honest service and fair prices. Don't wait. Just call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair.
Just-in-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
The Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:39, time to swamp away.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see. I'm not home and let's come.
Rick Manning, suffering from fall allergies, or I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, the swamp makes you sick too. How you doing, Rick? Welcome back to the show.
Doing fine. I think it's mold. It's the mold and the swamp.
Yeah, it's the mold and the fetidness. You know. But I just love that term, fetid, which is why I have a problem with eating feta cheese. It always reminds me of fetid. You know, the word fetid.
Oh man, but it's so good when you put it in with some cucumbers, a little bit of, and some
watermelon, and my wife makes this thing with that I'm not a fan until she made this one really weird salad that has a lot of different tastes, and it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a great summer salad. Anyhow, beyond that, feta cheese, not my favorite.
Okay, let's talk
about weird.
Now,
kind of weird, round ball, soft.
It is, exactly. You know, you want some real cheese like mozzarella. You know, if you're going to have a round ball, that's the way to do it, in my opinion. But we'll set that aside here. Hey, I guess you're going to have to digest the hiring or the jobs report here in a little while. It's going to take some time to jump through that. But they're talking about 250,000 jobs were added in September, and they're talking about unexpectedly robust. My gut tells me, when I'm out there observing what's happening in the real world, that we could already be in recession when I'm looking at how quits are going away. Nobody's quitting their job if they can help it, and various other things. And I don't know. Who do you believe at this point? And you've worked in the Labor Department before. And it's, you know, it's not that I'm saying hoping that we have a recession, but, you know, things go up and down. It just is a natural order of cycle of things, you know, going on. What do you think?
I have questioned jobs numbers in the past out loud and in public on a CNN show with Wolf Blitzer, actually. And I got creamed by the guy who was running, who ran BLS. Who ended up running BLS. He was the, he yelled at me, it was, he was a guy who was an economist, at the Labor Department. And, they're pretty defensive of the idea that they're doing, you know, real sampling and the like in terms of their studies. I will tell you the level of inaccuracy that we've seen from BLS of last year were, you know, they only missed by 800,000 jobs over the course of a 12-month period. I don't have to say that there's any cheating. I just say their measuring sticks aren't right. They've been missing by a lot, and it's always interesting when they miss the advantage of an incumbent who the bureaucracy would like to see get reelected.
I always get a little bit suspicious really if numbers get juiced, you know, right before elections, no matter who's in charge. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know, I will tell you, I was in a meeting with BLS when I was at Labor Department. So this was way back in like 2008, and maybe it was 2007. But the number came in, and it showed about a 500,000 person drop in the number of people employed, and it was a massive drop. And the BLS person in the meeting with the secretary, which I was sitting in, said, "I think we got a bad sample. It's just this doesn't make any sense. I think we got a bad sample," and of course, what we got was the housing crisis, which was what actually was going on. But even BLS looks at numbers, and when they don't make sense, they say maybe we got a bad sample. And that instance, all this is a survey, and it's with a certain degree of certainty. There's a, you know, they try to make it as accurate as possible. But the fact is, over the course of a year, they only missed by 800,000.
Well, 800,000 is quite a bit to miss by, isn't it?
No, it's a huge bad.
Good. So you're being sarcastic. Good. You know, sometimes because I could hear a bureaucrat saying, "Well, we only missed by 800,000. It's like, okay, yeah, government work, you know.
This is like Maxwell Smart. Missed it by that much.
Okay. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so it's a, but yeah, that's when we have a recent history of over a course of a full year missing the numbers by almost 1,000,000. You on the 1 month survey when it bounces way up from being pretty far down, you have to sit there and say how much of this is just the sample not actually reflecting the workforce.
Yeah, the workforce. Well, let me ask a question that maybe just shows my ignorance about how government surveys actually work. Why are they doing government surveys rather than, let's say, surveying what payroll companies like ADP do? Because, you know, to me, that sounds much more sensible to survey who's actually writing checks. You know what I'm getting at? You know, that's that sort of thing, because this would indicate that people are actually working and getting money when they're getting payrolls processed. And that would seem to be a much more accurate way of judging things. Or am I missing something there?
That would be might be a better way of doing the side of the survey, which says how many net jobs are created by based on the business survey,
mm-hmm.
called the establishment survey. The problem with that is a lot of small companies do their own payroll or use software that they just put on their computers to do their payroll.
Ah, okay.
And so they don't get measured by those people. And as an employer, which I am, I get these surveys every once in a while, usually from Virginia Department of Employment, since that's where my company is located, the Americans for Limited Government, which is a nonprofit, but it's still a company. And I get these things. I got one sitting on my desk right now that says, you need to log in and tell us how many people are working for you. And it's just it's almost like a harassment survey. And if you don't do it, they get really mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that's how they do this, is they do a periodic check of people at all levels. And whether you have two employees or, a billion, and that's hyperbolic for those of you who can't tell the difference, like Washington Post reporters and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's so it's more accurate to get employers who are smaller employers included in terms of job growth, and about 38% of the jobs in the economy are from small businesses. So,
all right. Well, then let me redirect, Counselor. Allow me to redirect the question, Counselor. And by the way, Rick Manning's with me. He's the president of Americans for Limited Government. Does not the Internal Revenue Service get payroll taxes deposited on a regular basis? Is it like every month? It's not every quarter, I don't think. It's like the employers have to kick that in. Isn't that something that could be measured? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Well, it could be. That's absolutely 100% true. It could be. And that's, that's something which, quite honestly, it probably makes, from the number of jobs in the economy, it probably make a lot more sense. Which you certainly get all the legal jobs.
Mm-hmm. It would not capture the illegal jobs. We get that. Sure.
And I say, given the fact we've got about 25 to 30 million illegal aliens in the country who presumably many of whom can't work, but are, that's a pretty significant size of part of the economy. And I don't know if you capture those in the establishment survey. Truth is, you don't have an establishment survey. You're just reporting a number. You're not reporting anything else. And an HR person is just filling out a form and sending it in.
All right, Rick. We'll set that aside right now. I know that when you get the full report, you're gonna crunch that up. You're gonna put it up on Daily Torch. I know you're gonna have a take.
We will have a piece up on Daily Torch and probably go out this morning.
Yeah, because Rick has forgotten more about this kind of Bureau of Labor statistic ways of spinning stuff than I'll ever know. But that's why we go to Daily Torch for this. Okay. Let's just do that.
Bottom line is you have a reason to not believe the number. The fact is the BLS has been extraordinarily inaccurate over the last year and a half. And so to suddenly believe they're being accurate would be a leap of faith.
Okay, good. We will set that aside then. Let's go into a bit of other politics this week. J.D. Vance, arguably. I mean, there's no way to have looked at the J.D. Vance debate performance this week as nothing short of remarkable. I would imagine that there were more than one Republican wished that he had pinch hit for Donald Trump a few weeks ago with the Kamala Harris one. And it's just, let's face it, J.D. is just, as a senator, is more set up for this kind of thing. But he did a great job, really did. And Tim Walz did not necessarily help his cause, okay? That being said, do you think that needles were moved much in one direction or the other? I'm not sure they did. If they did, it may be, a small amount of women maybe kind of leaning more on J.D., thinking that, the Trump administration, not so scary. I know that sounds stupid, but that's the way it's been spun, out there in the regular news wheel. How do you think?
Well, for those people who subscribe to DailyTorch.com, I suggest you go there and subscribe. We've got an article this morning that analyzes the CNN poll that came out afterwards.
Right.
And what it showed is that even if people, based on expectations of how things were going to happen, most of the issue groups believe that J.D. Vance was going to get killed by Tim Walz. For some reason, they
really
made that determination, because particularly the ones who were Kamala Harris leaning. You had the women as a whole thought that it was going to be by about 8 points, if I remember correctly, that Walz was going to win. After the debate, they said that by 2 points, 2 or 3 points, the advance won. That's a big deal, since supposedly 60% of women are voting based on abortion, abortion alone, and the abortion argument came front and center in that debate.
Yeah,
and yet Vance moved up about 8% with women in terms of who believed he actually won. That means those women looked at his answers and said, "Wow, I prefer him to the other guy." That's a big deal. On the independents as a whole, Vance did significantly better than expected. With people of color, Vance did significantly better than expected. And when you look at that, it tells you more about the media coverage than it tells you about anything else, because Vance has actually been doing media. He's done,
I think, 130 interviews or something. He's been very, very busy on the campaign trail.
And he's been good.
He's gotten very good at this, I think.
He's very good at it. He's practiced. But it just goes to show you, when you're doing individual interviews that, get seen by, say, 50,000 people, maybe 100,000 people, you have to do a lot of interviews to get to a critical mass in the overall electorate, which is about 170 million. And so it's really hard doing individual interviews if you're not getting national interviews to make an impression, to really move the impression. But if the national media is hitting you 95-5, saying you're terrible and you're stupid and you're reckless and you're weird, when you get fed through the national media and through the various outlets that exist and through your Google searches and the like, you get preset as, people say, oh, well, this guy's, the expectations for you become very low. Mm-hmm. And the truth be told, he just destroyed expectations before the people. And I'll tell you, just watching it with my wife. My wife and I met at a college Republican recruiting table. Okay? She's very conservative, so let's just be clear. She's not a liberal person. She has never been that impressed with Trump. Just doesn't like the New York aspect.
And I know people that are like that. They just can't get past that. I understand. I grew up around people. I grew up around a lot of people like that, though, having come from the East Coast. So it's like, okay, yeah, I understand that.
Right. I will tell you, I lobbied in New Jersey, so I'm pretty much well past it. But it's a, this election cycle, as it has gone forward, she has become significantly more rooting for Trump to win. And Vance, what she said after about 10 minutes of Vance is, why isn't this guy our nominee? It was because he's really on topic. He answered the questions. He clarified for 30 seconds, and he answered the question in the last minute and a half. And she was just really impressed with what he did. And the irony on this is, Walz has been in politics for a long time. And he was in Congress. He's the governor of Minnesota. So he's got a decade, 15 years in politics. Vance has been in politics for 3 years. 3 years.
Wow.
He ran for Vance. He won his Senate seat in 2022. Maybe it's 2020.
In other words, that's pretty impressive given the level of experience. All right.
He hadn't been an elected official before that. He was a businessman. And you look at it and you say, how's a guy who is not a public official for a long time, doesn't have any of the competitive advantages of having done this so often that you can do a debate in your sleep? Doesn't end up having any nerves on the national stage and ends up just being really owning it. that's pretty remarkable to me. It shows a level of intelligence, but also a temperament that allows for somebody to process quickly, not get flustered, and be in the moment and answer honestly on questions. And I didn't like all of his answers. I mean, truthfully, I didn't really like all of his answers. But the fact of the matter is, he handled every question professionally. He handled every question without getting really worked up. He was actually human when in dealing with Walls. And it was refreshing. And
then some people would say, well, they were upset. Well, some people would tell me, though, Rick, that they were upset with him. Oh, he was kind of too weak or too mushy or something. And I was thinking to myself, that was kind of the job, though. That was the job to kind of soften things a little bit, right? Wasn't that really the job this particular debate?
Yeah, it was. The fact is, yes, it was. And what he did is he made it clear that Donald Trump is 78 years old, and they're trying to say, after, you know, sort of saying Biden's absolutely okay and continue to say that, they're trying to now say Donald Trump's too old. That's what the left is doing. That's a narrative they immediately picked up after Biden left.
Indeed, yeah, they are.
So what he did is he made everybody know, you know, if something happens with Trump, we're going to be okay. This guy is calm, cool, collected. He's somebody we can trust the country to. And he's a generational change. He's a millennial. Mm-hmm. He's a massive generational change. So it is so I think he did his job. And I think he helped Trump tremendously in that debate.
I also think that he had the right answer when and you knew they were going to come after him, like, well, you know, you said some really bad things or nasty things about Trump in the past. And then he comes back with a very simple, well, I didn't know him. And now I do, you know, And I thought that was the perfect way to handle that.
Yep. It was the perfect way to handle it. He kept bringing up his young kids and stuff. And everything is calculated in terms of those kind of responses. But I think what he was trying to say to the mothers is, listen, I got young kids. I'm like you do. Worried about those young kids just like you are. And I'm worried about their bedtimes. I'm worried about real life stuff. I'm not just an automaton up here. And in some respects, that's a huge contrast to the Democratic nominee, who is an automaton, and a bad one.
Yeah.
But really, I was kind of surprised. He far exceeded my expectations.
About the only thing that I would have maybe a little nitpick on was that I think bringing up the drug addicted mom. Okay. Yeah. We heard that about 50 times. All right. You know, we read the book.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think about that. And also I was concerned. I was talking with Jack Cashel, another author, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
About the fact that there was this whole big lie about the police officers being beaten and, you know, dying, implying that they were dying because of January 6th. And it was a huge lie. I noticed that the fact checkers didn't go after that. And I don't know, maybe it was wise that JD let that one go. I'm just concerned, and I've told other people this, and I will still believe this. And maybe you can talk me down off the ledge. I'm concerned that Republicans are not willing to defend what happened at January 6th, even when all the evidence and the truth is on their side and it's right out there, if you would just talk about it. It's like everyone's just trying to run away from that. And they let the Democrat lie live and be the narrative. Am I right or wrong about that?
I think if you've got 2 minutes, you have to choose what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think pivoting and talking about the First Amendment, I think we're talking about the same question. Mm-hmm. When he was confronted about Trump not wanting to leave office and all that kind of stuff, he took on the overall question of Trump's fitness to serve based on the narrative that he's a disaster for democracy, even though that's basically a big lie. It's about democracy at all. But That big lie, rather than deal with details on that and try to get people to not believe what they've already been kind of brainwashed to believe.
Mm-hmm.
To sit there and drive the real narrative, this is what the Kennedy voters want and concern, the Tulsi Gabbard voters, the Democrats who are abandoning the Biden-Harris team, are worried about, and that is the First Amendment violations, the censorship.
Yeah, that closure, the real threat to democracy was a high point, in my view.
Okay. And that was directed specifically at Robert F. Kennedy voters who sit there and say, I don't like Trump, but I don't know what to do. And that was directly at them saying, if you truly believe in the First Amendment, if you are an atheist, a card-carrying member, to quote George H.W. Bush, a card-carrying member of the ACLU, you have to vote for Trump. And that is that's who it was aimed at. And quite honestly, it was aimed at 1 to 1.5% of the voters, because that's where this difference in this election is going
to
be made.
Yeah, 1 to 1.5%. It's not the broad, is it? It's not the broad base.
Nope.
It's that looking
nope, it's
for
not.
That.
He wasn't talking about the issues that when you poll, they show the top performing issues.
Mm-hmm.
He was dealing with an issue that people who normally vote Democrat and always vote Democrat and consider themselves to be liberal Democrats are extremely concerned about what's happening in this country. And it's largely revolved around COVID. And so he's making a COVID argument saying you don't want that to occur anymore. And talking about the exact same thing that Bobby Kennedy Jr. has been talking about. And it is exactly why he made that statement. It is exactly right. And when I heard him say that, I thought to myself, finally, a Republican telling the truth about this censorship issue, as opposed to some of these lame asses who are in Congress who are afraid to talk about anything. I was encouraged because mm-hmm. I've spent a lot of time dealing with that issue, and I am shocked at how few Republicans actually get it and the importance of it. And it's frustrating as heck.
Indeed. Without the First Amendment, without truly respecting the First Amendment, without that free exchange of ideas, it's dead. It's over, okay? And that's the choice that we have coming up here, all right? Rick, good take on that. I appreciate it. You have a wonderful weekend here, and take a break, and take care of that cough, poor guy.
Yeah, I've been trying for about 3 weeks, and truth be told, 3 weeks of antibiotics have done no good, so I am I'm going to another strategy. I think I'm going to drink.
Just remember, that might work. That might work. What's your favorite way of dealing with it? It's safe. And remember, alcohol, safe and effective. Talk to the COVID people.
And I'm old enough. And I'm old enough now that liver cirrhosis doesn't occur for 20 years. And by then, I won't care.
Yeah, exactly. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you next Friday, Rick.
Take care.
Take care now. DailyTorch.com. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. DailyTorch.com.